Welcome back. Game night on TSN 690. Impact Toronto, CONCACAF, Toronto FC. Right after this show, our coverage gets underway. Rick Moffitt, Grant Needham on site. And then as soon as that's over, we switch over to game two. And there'll be a good chunk of it left. And it'll go into overtime tonight. Maybe even go into double overtime tonight. So you're going to get a whole hockey game tonight as soon as the Impact game ends right here on TSN 690. And, of course, between the benches tonight, once again, for NBC Sports, it's Pierre Maguire. It's hour number three of Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, and Mitch Gallo.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chateauguay, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm excellent from Sweet 66 in lovely downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Sweet 66. Do they serve food?
I got to get you here.
Do they serve food in there in addition to all the wine?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Remember Mise au Jour at the Forum?
Of course. Oh, yeah. We used to have...
Very similar to Mise au Jour.
We used to have fantasy drafts, and somebody would be carving the roast beef while somebody is announcing our playoff pool draft. That was a great several nights we had year after year after year out there in the Mise au Jour.
Yeah. So similar to that.
Pierre, a Stanley Cup winner named Hal Gill is coming to town with a lot of former Canadians. It's the Scotiabank Pro-Am for Alzheimer's. They have this big draft at the Old Forum tomorrow night, and then they play at Cat Glass in Brossard over the next couple of days. Couple of developments before we get to the game tonight that we asked Hal about.
First thing that comes to mind is passion. He's a guy that I think played with passion and obviously coaches with passion. So, he's been around the game. He knows how to win. He knows how to play the right way. And I know he did a great job with us in Montreal as an assistant coach. And from what it looks like, he did a great job in St. Louis. So, I assume the future is bright for him, and I hope he does well.
Talking, of course, about Kirk Muller, it was revealed today that he's leaving St. Louis and Ken Hitchcock's staff to pursue other opportunities. What do you make of that?
I'm not surprised. I talked with Kirk a lot during the season, and I have a lot of respect for him. I think you know that. I echo everything Hal Gill just said. I think Hal's right on the mark. I think the biggest thing for him is he wanted to get back as a head coach. He loved his time, and I think he learned a lot from Ken Hitchcock and being part of his staff. But I think the big thing for him is he wants to go back and be a head coach. And so there'll be some opportunities, I'm sure, whether they're in Europe or whether they're in the NHL, potentially maybe Calgary, maybe Anaheim, I don't know, or maybe in the American League, like Ulf Samuelsson did yesterday, leaving the New York Rangers to go coach Charlotte in the American Hockey League. But I really think he wants to be a head coach. That was basically the gist I got from Kirk talking to him over the year.
Of course, another guy that's going to talk to Anaheim, if he hasn't already, is Randy Carlyle. Do you see that as a fit at this point, going back there?
A lot of people have asked me that, Mitch, and here's the one thing I can tell you. I think that team has gotten comfy and cozy, and that's not good. And Randy, I can assure you, the one thing he will do, if he were to go there, they won't be comfy cozy anymore. I think they have to get out of their comfort zone, and that's one of the things that I think has really held them back. And for Randy, who's a hard-edged guy who really does know how to coach, contrary to what some people are saying about the Toronto experience, Mike Babcock, I think, is probably the best coach that's been in the NHL over the last 20 years. How did Mike Babcock do in Toronto this year? It was a home for wayward players, and they didn't have enough. And Randy was the victim of that. By the way, Randy Carlyle, when he got fired, Toronto was in a playoff position. So he knows how to coach, and I think he'd do a great job in Anaheim. So we'll see how it plays out.
He certainly coaches with a whip, right?
Oh, yeah. But maybe that's what they need. I'm just telling you, that team never should have lost in the first round this year the way they did, especially having a Game 7 on home ice. And last year, they had the Chicago Blackhawks by the tail, and they let them off the hook in Game 6 in Chicago, and they got pulverized in Game 7 at home. Something wasn't right, and they got to fix it, and that's one of the reasons why they're making the coaching change.
Back to Hal Gill, with so much talk about P.K. Subban and the trade deadline, no trade clause kicking in, and people pointing fingers at P.K. Subban as a source of issues in the room, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know what? P.K.'s a lightning rod. He's going to take, and I think he's become man enough to take criticism, and I'm sure he's not you know, he can't deflect everything, and he's just as responsible as everyone else on that team for what happened. But, you know, PK is a great player, a great competitor. You know, I think that's a whole team thing that you're dealing with and how everyone deals with each other. So I think to put the blame on one person, you know, PK's an exciting player and plays on the edge. And, yeah, sure, there's a certain tolerance for players that play the way he does. You know, he's high risk, high reward. But, you know, as a team, I think you need players like that to make the difference.
And basically what he wrapped up in saying at the tail end of that clip is, it's as he said earlier, is you can't blame one guy for this team-wide collapse. And there seems to be, I don't know if it's some kind of mission statement, or there seems to be people who are trying to pin it on PK Subban, what happened this season.
So what you need to figure out, the people that are trying to pin it on him, are they being sourced by the team? Is somebody within the confines of the team planting some of this so that it makes it easier for them to move? I'm not saying they are.
It has the feel. I want
to know.
Yeah, it has the feel of that.
Correct, and that's why I'd want to know who's. And I haven't, obviously, I'm in the Stanley Cup final bubble, mentioning how many games I've done. I haven't had a chance to really follow the non-playoff teams at this point. Once the Stanley Cup ends, I'll be preparing for the draft and really getting ready, understanding the depth charts of all these teams and the players that are eligible in the first two rounds. That being said, I'd want to know who's writing that stuff. And I'd want to know, if I were in your shoes, or Mitch Gallo's shoes, or Rod Francis' shoes, and then I want to know who do they have relationships with in terms of on the team. And that's how I'd find out. And I'm talking about in management or on the coaching staff.
So it sounds like you're describing like an audit of sorts, like an internal audit. Does that become delicate? Like, how do you conduct that without alienating certain players potentially?
You're talking about your end of the year exit interviews.
Right, Pierre. Or even if it goes beyond that, and you're just texting with a couple guys, and it starts out informal, but really you're trying to figure out ultimately where this stuff's coming from.
Well, I think the biggest thing is you've got to be transparent, and you have to be really solid in your opinion and gather really good information and intel. And if you can do that, then you can be strong with your decision making. Again, I don't know. I'm really divorced from it. The one thing that's interesting, I had a tremendous breakfast today with the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Kevin Colbert, who's a real good friend of mine. And we were talking about different things about team building today. And the hardest thing he has to do in their sport, and he talked about it for a long time this morning, I listened, is having to cut a guy that's been a big part of your program, or trade a guy, which doesn't happen very often in the NFL. But more times than not, cut a guy that's been part of your team. That's really hard stuff. And sometimes it's not easy, but the best way to do it, he says anyways, is you bring the guy in your office and you just say, it's over. We loved having you here, but it's not going to work anymore. And that's hard to do. He was telling me how hard it was to do with some of the guys who were part of their Super Bowl teams. He's been here 18 years.
So what was the occasion? Just hanging out because it's in Pittsburgh? He's a big hockey fan?
Yeah, he's a huge hockey guy. He plays a lot of hockey. He plays a lot of different hockey charity events. He's a great person, Kevin. Really, really good. I met him probably 8 or 9 years ago through Ray Sherrill at a barbecue at Ray's house, and we've stayed really good friends for a long time and ever since then. And I thought, you know my passion for football. So I talked to Kevin a lot about the NFL and about his teams and team building in particular.
Pierre, I wasn't aware that Hal spent the year in player development with the Florida Panthers. As you know, some upheaval with the new management people coming in. He's begun a post-playing coaching career or development career that he'd like to continue working with the team. I would imagine there would be no shortage of interest in somebody like Hal Gill.
Oh, tremendous. Tremendous interest would be there for him, depending on what he wants to do, obviously. And I think he's really comfortable, if I'm not mistaken. He's moved back with his family down to Massachusetts, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't think he wants to be mobile in terms of going to coach, but I think he wants a structured situation for his family. The last time I actually saw Hal was at the Winter Classic when he was playing in the old-timers game, and I had a real nice conversation with him. But there would definitely be an appetite for a player like that, a former player like that, to come in, especially to work with the defense. And here's one of the reasons why. This is when I think about putting together teams, who did they learn from? And Hal Gill had a chance to play with Raymond Bourque. He had a chance to win a Stanley Cup as a shutdown tandem guy with Robbie Scuderi. He's been in a lot. He played, for original six teams in Montreal and in Boston. I mean, you go around and you look at his body of work. That's what helps kids when it comes to development. So you look at their learning tree and exactly how they came up. So he would definitely be somebody that you'd want to have interest in.
On the game tonight.
Feel good so far, but like I said, it's just going to take it through the afternoon and see how I feel come to game time.
Scoring, speed, he's been strong on pucks, so we'll see. But if he's not in, we'll have to make sure that everybody steps up.
No, this is a little unexpected. It's a little bit new to me.
Brian Rust and Sidney Crosby. Brian Rust talking about all the extra attention. I would imagine, Pierre, that if they made him available with all the glaring lights and microphones and all that, that he's probably going to play.
He's the third guy on the ice this morning. Doc Emmerich and I were here watching to see who would come out early. And he's the third guy on the ice for the Penguins. And he started taking a lot of shots with Rick Tocchet, who was passing him pucks. So I would be absolutely shocked if he weren't playing tonight. Absolutely shocked.
On the San Jose side, they get an added element of speed with Dinas Zubrus scratched as Tom Nieto returns.
Nieto's a really good player. The last time he played was Game 6 against Nashville. He's a kid that went to the Salisbury School, and then he went to Boston University after some time with the U.S. National Development Program, 3 years at BU. Doc Emmerich and I were just talking about, we called the BU-Harvard game where Nieto was playing, and he played really well in that game. But you could see even at that time in his development stage that he was going to be an NHL player because he's got lightning quick speed. He can really get up to a fast tempo in a hurry. His two-step acceleration is outstanding. So I think that's something that they're looking for, obviously, from Nieto. And he's fresh. He's a fresh body. Like I said, he hasn't played since Game 6 of the Nashville series, so he didn't even get a game against St. Louis.
Yeah, my baseball background is showing. Tom Nieto was a catcher. Matt Nieto back in the lineup for the San Jose Sharks tonight. Okay, so you expect, I think most people expect, the Penguins expect the Sharks to be a lot better right out of the gate tonight. How much better?
Oh, I think they'll be a lot better. Again, that doesn't mean Pittsburgh won't be better either. But I think you're going to see San Jose be a lot better. They were, if you go back to Game 2 of the St. Louis series, they didn't win Game 1, but they played relatively well the last 35 minutes of that game. I thought against Pittsburgh, they were dominant in the second period, and they were okay. They were passable in the third. They were stinky in the first. I think you're going to see the team that started the second period, I think you'll see that same team right off the hop here for San Jose in Game number 2.
You know, we're on the road this time. The home team played a better game than us. So I think, we didn't find a way to get rewarded. The good news was, we still had a chance right until the last 5 minutes to win that game. And I think we'll be better.
So when you play an imperfect game, and yet within the 60 minutes you play very well for 20 or 25 minutes, do you end up focusing more on the parts of the game where you played really well or the parts of the game where you struggled?
I would pay attention to the parts of the game where we struggle and figure out why and make sure it doesn't happen. When they play well, they know exactly what they need to do. Get pucks in deep, cycle the puck, dominate board play, move the puck. And I had some great video built for the game tonight where you start the puck low, move it back to the point, and then walk to the inside part of the ice and get pucks on net. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do it, because when they were dominant in the second period, that's exactly what they were doing. And we'll show that tonight to our viewers at some point during the game. But I would be focusing on the parts that I didn't do well. I didn't take away their speed very well. I didn't play face-off play very well. I didn't get enough bodies in the forecheck. I didn't move the puck out of my own zone well enough. That's what I'd be focusing in on if I were San Jose.
We're excited to play. You know, we felt we were ready. And then at the start, we didn't, execute the way we needed to. So, we try to take that lesson and learn from it, and hopefully we can have a better start. But obviously it's exciting to be here.
Captain Joe Pavelski finishing up with Pierre McGuire on site prior to Game 2 tonight, which we will have for you after the Impact and Toronto FC CONCACAF matchup in Toronto.
Well, considering that Pavelski clip, Pierre, Pavelski and Burns, the two best San Jose shooters, they combined for only 5 shots in Game 1. Pavelski had just 2 shots. And just wondering, how was Pittsburgh able to limit him? And how can the Sharks, I guess, change what they did in Game 1 so that Pavelski could get more open?
Do you remember what we talked about before Game 1? And I said Pittsburgh can't take more than 2 penalties in the game, because if they do, they won't win. They took 2 in Game number 1. Big parts of Burns' game, and Burns had 2 assists, by the way, but big parts of Burns' game and big parts of Pavelski's game, open ice in the power play, they're sensational on power play situations. 5-on-5, if Joe Thornton's jumping, and he was not jumping in the first period the other night, but if he's jumping, then it makes a difference, makes a huge difference for Pavelski and Tomas Hertl as well if he's jumping. But that's, you got it. I mean, Joe's part of a line, and part of a line that's extremely good. Spent a lot of time with Joe Thornton's family yesterday afternoon into last night. And, you know, I think you can expect a much better game from Joe here in game number 2. I'm talking about Joe Thornton, and that will help Joe Pavelski.
I think Gino's playing well for us. You know, he's generating scoring chances, and that's the thing that we watch most is his scoring chance involvement, his primary chances himself. And he's been involved in a fair amount of chances, both primary and secondary, over the last, you know, the last 2 series. So, you know, we feel real comfortable with this game. We know it's a matter of time before he scores.
Final one, Pierre. Mike Sullivan, of course, talking about Evgeny Malkin. They're winning. So far it hasn't hurt them. But eventually, like, is there anything you see from your vantage point, or do you also feel that it's a matter of time before he puts the puck in the net?
Oh, I think he's getting closer and closer all the time. That's the one thing. And I saw it in the Tampa series, and I definitely saw it in the Washington series, where he was getting chances, and for whatever reason, he was getting robbed by the goalie or he was missing the net. But it's coming. Again, I think you're going to see him get a lot of attention tonight, probably from Brent Burns. And I think you're going to see Crosby get a lot of attention, probably from Mark Edward Vlasic. I think they're going to worry more about matching on the back end on the San Jose side of things and matching with forwards. I think they want to get rhythm going early with their forwards. So that's something to watch for tonight. But Malkin's getting close, Mitch. There's no question he's getting close.
From Suite 66 on site in Pittsburgh, ready to do Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Enjoy. I wish we could say we'll be watching you guys. And we'll talk about that and much more tomorrow afternoon.
Thanks a lot, my friend. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy Game 2.
We have a comfort level that we can play any of our lines against any opponent's lines. We think we have the strength of our team throughout the course of this playoffs has been the balance at the forward group that we have. We think we have guys on each line that that have awareness at both ends of the rink, and so we really like that balance. I think it makes us more difficult to play against.
We realized we didn't bring our best last game, and at this time of the year in this spot, you need to be at your best to win games. So we have a lot of work to do to be better in Game 2.
Logan Couture of the Sharks, and again, Mike Sullivan, head coach of the Penguins, prior to Game 2 tonight. When we come back, we're going to batting practice at the Rogers Centre. Bob Elliott is working his last game as the baseball writer and columnist for the Toronto Sun. He started in Ottawa. We got to know Bob over 30 years ago. He's been 40 years in the business. What a strange time to retire. We're in the middle of the season. We'll find out why he's packing it in. Bob Elliott next, plus Bill Lee. After 6 o'clock, Aaron Ward rejoins us on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Once again, cult Montreal fans have named Dagwoods the best sandwich in Montreal. You gotta love a Dagwoods sandwich.
Hey, announcer guy, why the long face?
Despite my charming voice, the missus says it's time to lose some weight.
Ah, then the Salada Dag is perfect for you. You can have all the freshly sliced ingredients of any Dagwood sandwich wrapped in crispy lettuce. A delicious low-carb, gluten-free option that really tastes good.
A breadless sandwich. Brilliant.
It's the sauce. It's the place.
It's the smile.
It's the wow.
Get the Dagwood's taste.
The Salada Dag. Low carb and gluten free.
Cause it's breadless!
Playground Poker Club, Canada's premier poker destination, where you'll find an amazing staff.